Welcome to you Sunday. It's always a joy to have the young ones up here with us in youth leading worship and our youth band up here playing. For those who just attend Sunday morning and aren't involved in children's ministry, if you don't have kids or if you don't have kids in youth group, we really like to at least once every couple months, every time that there is five Sundays in a month, to bring them up on stage so you can just see how awesome they are, because they really are. And the coolest part about it is these youth that are on stage, that are in the tech booth and up and doing the lights, they actually serve on a monthly basis. And that just shows just how awesome this church is, that they engage not only the adults, but also the younger people involved. So we are in a series called A Christian That Wins. And speaking of wins, Julio and Jessica Roman over here got married yesterday. And so we are a church that celebrates so many different things, and that is something we absolutely need to celebrate. So go give them a hug, give them high fives, whatever you guys do, and just celebrate them, because that is fantastic. I love that. So we are in a series called A Christian That Wins, and last week Dave started off it talking about James 1, which you saw just a sneak peek of that. And we are talking about the key fundamentals of being a Christian. Last week Dave talked about James 1, where we walk through a Christian finds joy in overcoming adversity, where your faith will grow the longer you're in the game, the more experience you have, the more trials that you have. Your faith will be stronger in the long run. And where we enter into James 2, and James understands something that he really wants all of us to understand. He understands that how important faith is. And he wants us to all understand that before we go into chapters 3, 4, and 5, we need to understand that faith is the key fundamental that we need to have in our life. Our faith is in the salvation that comes through God's grace that Jesus came on this earth for. We have a foundation. We put everything into Jesus' name, God's Son, who came down in obedience to die on the cross to be the ultimate sacrifice for our sins. So that in the eyes of God, the judge, the ultimate judge, we are sanctified and made holy through the grace of Jesus Christ. That is the faith that James wants us to understand before we continue in anything. Because without faith, as we all know, nothing really matters. James brings up a strong point that we're going to talk about today, which the main thing is this: a Christian that wins lives out what they believe. We're going to be in James 2 today, like I've said, verses 14 through 25. And I'm going to read this for you. If you guys have your Bibles, you can open up to that. It says this: "What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, keep warm and well fed,' but does nothing for their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, by faith, faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, 'I have faith, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds.' You believe that there is one God. Good, even the demons believe that and shudder. You foolish person, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, 'Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend.' You see that a person is considered righteous by what they do, and not by faith alone." See, I think James brings up a great point that we need to understand here. And you can kind of see in this scripture what some of the people might have been dealing with in this letter. So what in the New Testament, most of them are written in letter form to a group of people to address certain areas of concern that the writer has. And you can kind of see here that there's probably two types of people he's writing to in this. Probably people who have faith, but nothing is coming out of them. They're just kind of sitting there and they say, "Yeah, I believe in Jesus." And then the second person he's probably addressing here is people who have actions that are actually doing something, but they're probably doing it to self-serve and not for the kingdom at all. So James brings up a great fundamental point that if you are a follower of Jesus, and if you have faith in him, then there has to be works naturally flowing out of you. In today's culture, that is the exact opposite of what we read here in Scripture. Dave's point last week says, Jesus, like it said in this video, Jesus needs to be the center of your life, where the world says, you know, you just need to do whatever benefits you the best, and it'll all work out. Jesus in the Scripture calls us to not abide by that, but live at a much higher standard of living and live out our faith. The very first time I experienced this type of faith was about 2 months of going into church. It was a Sunday morning service, just a normal Sunday morning service. And I already thought, I wasn't a Christian yet, I'd been going a couple months, and I already thought Christians were kind of interesting. I hadn't figured Christians out yet. And everything, these new things, every single week, it seemed like there was a new element that I was just like amazed by. I was like, why are we doing this? And this just took it to the next level. It was a normal Sunday, and at the end of the service, the MC, kind of like what Jenny was doing, would draw our attention to the bottom of the bulletin, where there was new prayer requests and praises. This is kind of an old country church style, and we would pray for those things, and we would kind of celebrate the praises as well. And there is one specific one where there is this guy who was in his 60s who just lived a rough life. And when I mean rough life, I mean he was a working man his entire life. He did construction, he worked on the farm, just beat his body to the ground. And by the time he was 60, he needed a new kidney. And that was in the bulletin, and the person just said, hey, I just want to draw your attention to this person. Can we pray that somebody somewhere steps up and allows and gives their kidney to this man? And afterwards, after we prayed, there is a lady who is sitting in the middle left section of the pews. At that church, everybody had their own pew. You didn't sit in other people's pews. And we don't deal with that here. But she got up and immediately walked back to the guy whose his pew was in the back right section. And I didn't think anything of it. But what the conversation that she had with that man was, hey, I think God's telling me to give you my kidney. And it absolutely blew my mind, because a couple months later, whenever she was healed and he was healed, they brought him together, they brought him to the middle, and everybody stood and applauded, and our senior minister said, that's what it's all about. That's how simple faith and action can be. When you have faith and you realize somebody is in need, you have action. And I learned something so pivotal in my relationship with Jesus that day, and that's how simple works are. Works are just an outcry of our faith. When you have true faith in Jesus, works just naturally pour out of you. Some of you probably in your pew right now, like, okay, well, what works do I need to have? I'm gonna start writing them down. Or do I need to give my kidney to somebody? Like, no, I'm not saying that you need to give your kidney unless you're willing. Then I'm sure there's somebody that might need your kidney. But here's the definition of works in the Bible, what we read in Scripture. Works are this: when you show love to God and his people. This comes straight out of Matthew 22 in Scripture, when we see that hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together, one of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question: Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second one is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And even this is completely backwards from what we all grew up understanding. What we understood was the golden rule. How many of you guys have held the golden rule when you're a kid? It's like first grade, it's like, hey, golden rule. And you're like, okay. And it's treat others as you want to be treated. But I'm here to say, like, that is not what we need to do. We do not need to treat others the way we want to be treated. Because we need to not rely on our own understanding, but we need to rely on the understanding of how God loves us. We need to first understand, if we have faith, then we need to understand the love for ourselves that God has for us. Everyone has a different idea of how they want to be loved and how to be treated. Everyone has a different upbringing. Everyone has had stuff in their past that makes them feel a certain way. Everyone has had a different level of self-esteem about themselves. Everyone, just because of what you read or experiences that you've had in your life. And if we treat others the way that we want to be treated, that won't even scratch the surface of how God loves us and how he wants us to treat other people. When I was sitting in that pew when I was in high school, when I was a senior in high school, And my senior minister told us to stand up and clap for the person, for the lady and the man who exchanged the kidney. That was the type of love that I've never experienced within the church. That's the type of love that we read in John 3:16, where it says, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. That's the agape love that we read in the Greek, the sacrificial love. And that is the same type of love that we are supposed to have for other people. I'm truly thankful for that lady who gave that man his kidney. Yes, she absolutely saved his life, which is absolutely amazing. But I don't think she understood the impact that her decision would make far beyond just saving somebody's life. Because people notice action. Last week and a couple weeks before, Dave said this: what you are doing is so loud, I can't hear what you're saying. And to be honest, I can't even remember what that lady's name was. I can't remember. And I don't even know if I actually had a conversation with that lady ever. But I can say this: whenever she walked to the front, whenever that man walked to the front, the only thing that I could see in that instance was Jesus. That is the only thing that I could see. We need to understand that being a light to the world is the most important thing. And when you show Jesus' love to everyone, that light will shine brighter than anything else. This is a very important thing in why we have actions, is because you are an example to the youth and to new people in Christ. This action, the love that we have for one another, will change somebody's life forever. It doesn't take much. You know, you could go up to somebody and say, how was your day, and just actually mean it. You could go up to somebody and just help them by picking up something and actually mean it. You don't have a clue on the impact that you have by just showing love and showing action out of your faith. I have this picture that was taken a couple months ago of Rodney Salee and his son. If you don't believe me that what you do on a Sunday morning, what you do on every single day of your life, that somebody's not behind you watching you. If you look at this photo, it's identical. Every time that you have a faith and you have action that pours out of you naturally, somebody is watching. Somebody is right behind you, and it's the young people and it's the new people in Christ. If we want that type of mentality, that those type of actions to continue in the church, we need to make sure that we have faith and action pouring out of us. The second thing is this: you do these actions so non-Christians can see Christ when they see you. If we have the same love that God has for the people, we need to understand that we need to step out of the way and we need to allow God's face to be shown in everything that we do. The hardest thing for me as a Christian is to hear when people call Christians a hypocrite. I hate it. I hate when Christians they say, those Christians are just a bunch of hypocrites. It like hurts me inside. I hate hearing that. And the reason people see that is because people can see right through every single action that we have. We live in the most skeptical world of all time. There's no trust among anyone. Everyone just expects the worst out of everyone. When somebody does an action or a good deed, they just expect that it's coming from a selfish side of them, and they're like, oh, whatever, they're just never going to do it again. I know that this is so important for us as Christians to be on our A game at all times. I know that we're not perfect and we miss the mark every once in a while, but we need to make sure that we have the same faith and the same love as Jesus, so that when they see our actions, they see Jesus' face and not our own. There will be a time in your life, and this is a warning, there will be a time in your life when this stuff becomes a habit. And I hope that when you have faith and you have love for God and his people, that this just comes natural to you. We talk about this on stage a lot, that when you know that you're growing in your faith is when you do things because you know it's the right thing to do. When you do it out of obedience and it just naturally happens, that's when you know you're growing in your faith. But there'll be a time in your life when that obedience becomes easy. And that's when you need to worry. I can't say that I've always been perfect at this, but we need to make sure that when we have faith and we have actions, that we're not looking for other people's glory, but we're looking to make sure that other people see God's glory through us. We need to make sure we are to follow God and God is not to follow us. It's a very, very important thing. To be transparent, I haven't always been good at this. When you're a minister, you get to meet a lot of people. And I think that's my favorite part about this job is I get to talk and meet and eat and chat with so many different people, and I absolutely love it. And when you do that, you get to meet other ministers, you get to meet other people, and you get to fill in speaking sometimes. Like you get to go to other churches and speak on a Sunday morning, you get to speak at youth groups, you get to speak at events. Sometimes you just get invited to an event just to pray. Sometimes you get invited to gatherings just to pray, which I absolutely love because I love to sit down and say, God, may all these people see you through me. But there was a point a while ago where I felt like I was doing something every single week and sometimes twice a week. And this obedience side of me where these actions and my faith were naturally coming out of me, it became easy. And I got a phone call from a conference out in Eastern Kentucky. It was the biggest conference I've ever spoken at. It's probably 400 kids, youth, that were going to be there. And there was a beginning speaker. They were going to do some worship, and then I was going to end it before they went into their small group time. It was going to be awesome. And I got the phone call, and I ran right up to my office. I was winded, sat down, relaxed for a second, then got on my computer, and I started just typing away. I just started typing my lesson, all the points that I was going to do, my stories I was going to bring up. I was going to have some killer jokes. And I got there, I drove there, it was about 2 hours away. I drove there, I was excited the entire time, just sat in silence and was just pumped that I was going to do this. The first guy spoke, killed it, did a great job. Worship, fantastic, kids were raising their hands, it was great. And then I got on stage. Well, I tried to get on stage. And I walk, and I like trip up stage. And I was like, oh, this is not starting out good. And I tell a joke, and the kids just didn't laugh, which, you know, it's not any different from sometimes when I say jokes up here. So that didn't really faze me all that much. But then I open up my Bible, and this is where it got me. I open up my Bible, and I start reading, and it's the wrong scripture, which is really embarrassing. And I tried to flip to the right scripture, and I just couldn't find it. And then when I started reading my points to the students, it was just like a glossed over look. And it felt like I was trying to convince a bunch of UK fans that Louisville was like the best school in Kentucky. And it felt like I was like trying to convince a 2-year-old that life insurance was like the best thing for them, you know, like, it was miserable. And I remember getting off stage and I was so defeated. I was just like, what in the world? And I was driving home and I realized something. Listen, even though I was talking about God this entire time, I never stopped to make sure that God was the one that was being seen and not me. I'm going to ask the band to come back up. If we want to make sure that our faith and actions are making us righteous, we need to make sure first that our faith in Jesus is our number one thing. We need to make sure that our faith and our salvation is based and grounded in the scriptures and Jesus Christ and not our own desires. And when we have that faith, these works of loving God and loving people will naturally start flowing out of us because we understand the love that God has for us. And in this whole process, we need to make sure that we don't disconnect our faith and our actions. Because when we disconnect them, if our faith is just the only thing that we have, then we're not really doing anything, and that's not what God commands us to do. But if we disconnect the actions, then we're just being self-seeking. And I promise you, God will not bless that.